Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome not to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is Landon and Jim versus the world. Landon, we've been talking about this for so long. Finally, our new show is a reality. How about that?
I'm excited about it, Jim. This is a good time. Me and Jim will always send each other text and stuff on Twitter and all over social media. And a lot of times it doesn't have anything to do with Penn State football. And as you guys know, our other show is pretty Penn State football-centric. And he said, you know, we have an opportunity to come on here and talk about some other stuff. And it kind of gives a cool perspective. You know, I am 21 years old. Jim is, we won't say how old, but I think he's
a little older than 21.
I think he's from like the 19th century or something like that. So, so we'll have some good contrasts. We'll have some good times. But I'm excited. I've always kind of wanted a show where we could just talk about stuff going on in the world. You know, definitely will still be mainly sports centric, I imagine, as the way we'll go. But we'll be able to touch on some other stuff that people are talking about and that's going on in the world. So I'm really excited about it, Jim.
And it's always fun when you and I have our conversations. And Landon, I will fess up with my age. I am 64 years old. Okay. Now, maybe not a product of the 19th century, but I will concede the 20th century. Okay. How's that?
I'll give it to you. I was going to say you went to Penn State before they even moved the stadium over to the other side of campus, but I didn't want to get into you too bad, Jim. I didn't want to lay into you. So, well, I'll leave it up to you to tell them how old you are. So I'm glad we cleared it up.
I did not attend a game at Beaver Field. Okay. I did not do that. However, I was alive though when they did make that move. I think it was around 1960, 61,
yep. I actually just had Steve Jones on, and he was telling me about it, and Spider, the equipment manager. They were telling me about it. It was 1960 was the first season that they moved it. So 59 was the last year that the stadium was over there. Well, I guess you really can't even call it a stadium. It was just a field with bleachers on it.
Well, and that both Beaver Stadium and Jim were born in 1960. How's that?
Hey, it's a good year to be born. Honestly, when you're born on like an eve, like a 60 or a 70, it's a lot easier to do math when you're thinking about your age and stuff like that.
That is it. And to add to it, I was born in January of that year. So pretty much for the entire year, if this is 2024, I am 64. Okay. So yes, that makes the math a little bit easier because I was not a math major when I did attend Penn State. So the bigger question is, what's the bigger landmark, Penn State landmark, Beaver Stadium or Jim?
Oh, man, Jim, I don't know. The way you tell me about how you used to run stuff back in the day when Jim was a young fellow like me, I don't know. It sounds like you were running stuff on campus, man, and enjoying those basketball games. I mean, if you ever get a chance to talk to Jim Galante about his basketball endeavors when he was a young cat, I highly recommend.
That's it. I was a hoopster. I was a hoopster back in the day, Landon. All right, let's hit on this. We're giving folks a background, and we got to share the story. We're Landon and Jim versus the world is what we're calling the show. I'll let you share why that's the name.
Yeah, so we were sitting actually in a Sheetz dining area where we were discussing the show and kind of how we were going to go about it. And well, Jim said, okay, so what are we going to call it? And we kind of decided we was going to be Landon and Jim or Jim and Landon versus the world. And he said, well, whose name gets to go first? And I said, I don't know. How do you want to pick it? He said, you have a coin. I said, no, I don't have one on me. Who carries change anymore these days? So he said, you know what? I got it. And he pulls out a dollar bill and he starts to look at the serial number on the dollar bill. So he goes to the last number of the serial number. I think there's like 9 or 10 numbers. And he says, all right, is the last number odd or even? And I don't know. Something just told me. I wanted to say even. Like, my initial instinct was, like, even always. But I'm like, I think it has to be odd. It's like when someone tells you to pick a number between 1 and 10, and everybody always picks 7. I was like, I was feeling this tingle of, like, hey, I think it should be even. But I'm like, nah, there's no way. It's odd. I think it was either 7 or 9. I forget what the number was. But I hit – And all because of that, the show is now called Landon and Jim versus the World. So that's how I got to the rights to the first wording of our title of our show, I suppose.
And I'm going to have to live with that forever, Landon. But you do have to remember, I'm in charge of – I passed my first test. We got the graphic for the show. And, yes, I set it up. I had it set up as Landon and Jim. I'm also the one who's going to have to set up with the announcer, you know, how to do the intro. So you better be nice to me, or I could change that very quickly.
I'll play my cards right.
That's exactly it. The other part that's the kind of the genesis of this idea is, as Landon said, we've been together so much now. We haven't even known each other for a year yet, is it?
No, not even close. I think I met Jim in September, maybe. So maybe October, actually. So it's yeah. It feels like forever, Jim. I'll tell you, you have so much knowledge and so many stories. I could tell you where Jim grew up and every single day of his life leading up to where we are now. That's how much I know Jim Galante.
I don't know if that's good or bad. I feel the same way about you, Landon. And it feels like this. We're the odd couple. You know, there's the age difference, the size difference. You're 6'5". I'm 5.5 foot tall. We walk into the room. It's like the twins movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito.
Exactly. Well, look, also, I could tell I've never been to Berwick, Pennsylvania. And Jim, if you have a conversation with Jim Galante, you're gonna hear about Berwick, where he grew up. So I could tell you everything about Berwick, PA, and I've never even been there. So that's how much I know Jim.
We're going to have to get you out here, Landon, hit some of those landmarks I talked to you about. And more in the whole genesis of how we got to this idea and where we got started is because we come from different generations, we have conversations about people, personalities, pop culture, and we sometimes find it hard to believe. How could the other one not be familiar with this? And I'll start with one of the first conversations we talked about was the movie The Godfather. And we had this discussion, and the movie came up, and you said, Jim, I've never seen that movie.
Jim, you're going to get me crucified by the listeners, man. I know, and honestly, it's bad. I have now since seen Godfather 1 and 2. I was told it's really not worth it to see 3. But I felt bad. And I honestly, even for my generation, that's still bad to not have seen The Godfather. And I didn't see Goodfellas either. So thankfully, my girlfriend, who's actually, talk about age difference, she's a millennial, I'm a Gen Z. So she was able to kind of guide me along a little bit. So she showed me The Godfather 1 and 2 and then Goodfellas. And I saw Casino 2 now. So I'm starting to kind of get the feel for everything. And movies are 1,000 times better back then. I mean, movies suck now. I'm sorry. Movies are no good. There's a reason that movie theaters are absolutely collapsing and closing down everywhere. Nobody wants to go see them. You can just watch them in your house. But I think just movies in general, just talking about how they're made, it's just not the same anymore. Like there will never be anything close to The Godfather made again. I mean, it's not even close. So I do admit I was in the wrong there when I said I've never seen it and I didn't really care too much to see it. Now that I have seen it, and I need to watch it again, I'll tell you what, because 1 and 2, those are not some movies that you can just watch once. I mean, I still don't even think I fully grasp everything that happened. So I'm excited to give it another watch. I'm going to have to spin back on that one more time.
You can't watch them casually, and there's so much that goes on. I've seen them several times over. I mentioned to you, I'm flipping through channels last night, and I saw it was on, and I had to watch it again, and it was still enjoyable, and you still see some things you hadn't seen before. And it's funny, you mentioned your girlfriend. She was part of that first conversation about not seeing The Godfather, and she was probably more amazed than I was that you hadn't seen it.
Yeah, she was still not my girlfriend at the time, so that maybe I was risking my chance there with her and telling her I haven't seen The Godfather. I think that was that might have been a deal breaker, but I'm all caught up now, and I'm being shown a lot of these throwback movies. You know, I grew up on The Lion King and those Disney type movies, so I'm happy to be educated as much as possible. And if the fans have any recommendations, I would love to hear any type of any old school movies that I'm missing out on.
Well, we are going to have to set that up. I will do that where we could interact, get the fans to tell us. And I think that's maybe the first question for you. Tell us your classic movie that we've got to get Landon to watch. Now, on the flip side of this, Landon, I don't want to make it sound like I am familiar with everything pop culture. I am not, obviously. Now, I caught some heat from you and from our listeners when I actually made the statement I had never in my life heard a Taylor Swift song. Okay. Now, I know who she is. I know more about who she is because of, you know, her dating life now, dating an NFL football player. But I can honestly say I've never heard a Taylor Swift song. Now, you've got to be pretty old to make that kind of statement.
You do. And I honestly, I still don't believe it, Jim, because Taylor Swift is ever. I mean, you go into the mall, you go into a consignment shop, a gas station, and you hear Taylor Swift playing. So I don't know if I could still fully believe that one, but I'll have to send you over. And I'll tell you what, I'm in the gym, and I will look down at my playlist. And my girlfriend has started to influence my playlist a little bit, and she does like Taylor Swift. So I'll be in there pumping and, you know, in there 6'5", 300 pounds with my wife beater on. And I look down at my phone and I'm singing along and I realize I'm singing to Taylor Swift right now. And I'm like, anybody that's looking at me, there's no way in hell that they think that I'm listening to Taylor Swift. So I got to say, Jim, I think you should give her a try because I have found her unbelievably catchy. There's certain songs I can't get behind, but I'll tell you, some of those breakup songs that she does, and she's always, you know, everybody talks about it. She's always singing about her exes and her boyfriends. I don't know. It's pretty catchy. I got to give it to her. I see why the Eras tour that she went on was such a big deal. And speaking of that, I heard, though, this is kind of fits into the stuff we're talking about. When the NFL was making the Chiefs schedule, was making the schedule as a whole, apparently it basically lines up so Taylor Swift can make 14 out of like the 17 games that the Chiefs have. And funny enough, there was, and this is how they people know, are pretty certain that the NFL took this into consideration, because the night they're playing, Chiefs are playing at Buffalo, it's like week 6, 7, you know, middle of the season. Well, she has a show right up in Toronto, so it's right across the board. I mean, they made it so she can be at as many games as possible, and rightfully so. I mean, she brings in a lot of money. They want her at these games. But there is a big conspiracy that the NFL had to take Taylor Swift into account to make the NFL schedule, which I think is quite interesting.
Why not? I don't care. And I do want to point out, I am not a Taylor Swift hater. I am not a Taylor Swift fan. I'm just unaware. Okay.
You're Switzerland. That's all right.
Just neutral. All right. That's going to be it for quarter number one. We got lots more to talk about. Stick with us.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, general manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to Landon and Jim versus the world. It's like I have to look down at my notes to say that. For years, I've been saying Keystone Kickoff Show for every show. That's not the case here. It's Landon and Jim versus the world. We called it that. Well, essentially, Landon won a coin toss or picked odds evens on a serial number of a dollar bill. Did I give you that dollar bill, by the way? I should.
No, you kept it. I should. We should frame it, actually. You might already used it on like a soda or something, though, Jim. Or maybe a candy bar, knowing you.
No. That's not fair. But I think I still have it because I have a stash of a couple dollars that I keep in my pocket just in case. I never use them, though. I never use them. Okay. So I'll bet you. And it was a 7. So I could find the dollar bill with the 7 at the end of the serial number. I will have to present it to you. Perhaps we'll have to frame it. And you know what? Continuing on this angle for our show about we come from different generations. There's different things we know. we are now starting to acknowledge each other when we bring something up. And I think it was when we went golfing, Landon, that you mentioned like some kind of rivalry going on between, was it Drake and somebody?
Drake and Kendrick Lamar. It's over now for the most part, but it was pretty much the biggest thing in pop culture for about a week and a half there. So for any of the fans that are, I'll fill you in, Jim, a little bit more, but I'll fill in some of these other fans that don't know as well. Essentially, how this they Drake and Kendrick Lamar are two of the biggest rappers in the world. And Drake is from Toronto, but he essentially is an East Coast rapper because Toronto's on the East Coast. And Kendrick Lamar is from L.A. He's from Compton, and he's a West Coast rapper. And anybody that knows, you even know this, how, you know, the classic Biggie and Tupac, that type of East Coast versus West Coast type thing. So they have not liked each other for a long time now. I think I see Jim writing down notes so he can keep track of the Kendrick Lamar Drake beef. And funny enough, I do want to state this. Me and Devon Elise are actually doing what I call an aux battle tonight. It will be on my YouTube. But we're basically going to play three songs from Drake, three songs from Kendrick Lamar. I have Kendrick. He has Drake because he's a big Drake fan. And we're gonna have one of the offensive linemen, Javen Williams, in the back. And he's going to judge who won. So I'm going to play a Drake Kendrick song. And then Devon Elise will play a Drake song. And then Javen Williams will say, okay, I think this song was better. He'll pick the winner. We're going to do that three times. So I'm incorporating that into one of my videos. I just want to put that out there. Essentially what happened was there was a couple diss tracks that were put out by Kendrick, calling out Drake, calling him some names, saying things about him. And then this led to them both dropping a diss track after diss track after diss track, going back and forth, saying things about each other. There were some things said about one of Kendrick's children, that he may be illegitimate. There was Kendrick calling Drake someone who likes underage girls, which is quite the accusation. So there was a lot of animosity between these two. So if you're interested at all, I think both of them dropped over three songs a piece, I think, kind of going at each other. So, and Drake doesn't have the best hip history with rap battles. I don't know if you know this, Jim, but this rapper named Pusha T put out a diss track on Drake. I believe this was back in 2018, and he exposed that Drake had a child that he was essentially hiding, which was true. And he got this information from Kanye West. Pusha T gets this information from Kanye West that Drake had told Kanye West in confidence, hey, I have a kid with a lady who does adult films. That was another piece of it. And I know we're getting into it right away, guys, on this first episode. And so Pusha T finds this out, and Pusha T and Drake are not friendly. So Pusha T then goes and puts out a diss track in 2018, I believe it was, and tells the whole world, hey, Drake is basically a deadbeat dad, and basically forced Drake into accepting his child, which, you know, who knows if he was or wasn't and whatnot, but he put it out there for the whole world. So Drake has a long history of some rap beefs, and obviously Drake and Meek Mill are another big rapper. They've also had rap beef. So Drake is well known in the world of having problems with other rappers. So he's well versed. So, but if anybody's interested, there's a lot of content out there on YouTube, on Twitter, everywhere, Facebook, I'm sure, even of kind of explaining that a little deeper. So if you're interested, I'll let you go check that out. But the consensus is that Kendrick Lamar kind of won the beef. That is the consensus. both of their final YouTube videos that they posted to YouTube, of their disses, their rap diss tracks, Kendrick Lamar had somewhere around, I mean, millions of likes and almost no dislikes. Drake's video, I think, had over like 10, 20 million dislikes, and then just had way less likes. So kind of judging by the YouTube standard of likes, it seemed like Kendrick Lamar won the rap battle. So there is Landon's rundown of the Drake versus Kendrick Lamar rap beef that was going on.
We had these all, we used to call these soap operas, Landon. But wait, you mentioned Meek Mills. Is that Philly?
That's Philly. There you go, Jim. Everybody knows Dreams and Nightmares. That is like the classic hype. I'm impressed by you. You knew where Meek Mill was from.
We just exhausted Jim's rapper knowledge.
Yeah, okay? I said that's it. That is all Jim has in the tank. You can't expect anything else from him as far as rap goes.
I lived for a lot of years in Philadelphia, so that's the only reason why I know that. Now, tell me, you're having this battle with Devon Ellis. Would you call it? What's the name of that?
So it's called an aux battle. We're calling it aux battle because that's, you know, you plug in your aux into the car, the aux cord, the auxiliary cord. That allows you to play the music. So we're essentially switching the aux cord back and forth. And I picked up, I was talking to a couple different people and I was playing, we were playing some poker with Javen Williams. And I said, hey, would you be interested in doing this? I know he likes music. And he said, oh, I'd love to. So Javen's going to be sitting in the back seat, basically in the middle. And me and Devon I'll be in the passenger seat. Devon will be in the driver's seat. And we're going to go song for song. And then Javen Williams will go ahead and we'll pick who wins. So obviously a video that's probably will be more viewed by the younger audience. But hey, everybody's invited. If you want to learn about a little Drake, a little Kendrick Lamar, it'll be a good time.
Well, here's my suggestion to you so that you could expand your audience, okay? Maybe you and I could have the battle, but I'll bring in folks like Springsteen, the Kinks, the Rolling Stones. How about that?
I can get down with that. I like it. It is going to be a series, so don't worry. I'm going to get a bunch of people. We're going to do old school. I'm going to get guys that like country on the team. I've already talked to Nick Dawkins. He wants to do some throwback hip hop. We're going to cover all the genres. So it'll be fun. Something to showcase once again and kind of what I've talked about over on my channel. If you haven't heard, I started my own YouTube channel on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, everywhere. You can find me at Landon Tangwall. I'm just trying to showcase our guys, our coaches, our athletes' personality. And I think this is something really cool. It showcases, you know, the type of music that the guys like and just kind of show their personality a little bit. So I figured this would be a fun way to kind of get into that.
And I will bring you the old school perspective.
Yeah. And we need it, Jim. We need to be educated on it. I will say this younger generation is lacking, man. We are lacking on some culture for sure.
Well, one of the things when you talk music that I will often point out now, you obviously know who the Rolling Stones are, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. Are you familiar with what decade they started?
Oh, gosh. I would venture to say the 70s, but was it the 60s?
It was the 60s. Okay. So we are 60 years later with the Rolling Stones, and they can still fill up an arena. Mm. Is there any music, any of your music, that 60 years from now, Landon, it will still be relevant?
Honestly, Jim, I honestly have to say probably not. I'll be fair about that one. I don't think so. I'm going to, you know, this weekend at Heinz Field, I refuse to call it AccuSure Stadium. I won't do it. I'm a diehard Steelers fan, as everybody knows. I'm going to a Kenny Chesney concert that I'm really excited about. So another example of someone who's been around forever that will absolutely pack a stadium. So I am behind you on that statement that I don't think there's really anybody right now that in 60 years will fill up a stadium, except maybe Taylor Swift. We'll have to give it. The Swifties will still be around, Jim.
That's right. 60 years from now, they'll still be alive and rocking, right?
Yeah. maybe she'll still be with Travis Kelce. Who knows? I guess we'll see on that one.
What are the chances of that?
Probably not. Well, judging by her ex-boyfriend record, with it being in the 15-20 range, I think probably not. But hey, we'll give them the benefit of the doubt. A lot of the Swifties like the relationship. So,
what I'm with Taylor Swift now, I haven't heard any of her music. You're right. Probably I've walked through a building somewhere and one of her songs was playing, and I was just totally unaware of it. Okay. I've literally had some of our listeners send me some of her music, you know, with Jim, tell me you've never heard this song before. I hit play on and I'm like, no, I don't recall.
Guys, I'm going to handle this one. Me and Jim have went golfing once, but we're going to do it a lot more next time. I always have my speaker with me. I'm going to make sure I play Jim a couple Taylor Swift songs the next time we go out golfing.
I've got to be able to pick out some of the music also for you to hear.
That's fair enough. We'll go both ways.
So I'm just wondering, what will that breakup song sound like when she breaks up with Travis Kelce? Okay. Oh,
that's, Jim, that's been thoroughly talked about. I mean, there's been, and funny enough, with what's going on with AI, there has even been people that have already made breakup songs by Taylor Swift about Travis Kelce with AI. I've heard them on Twitter. So there's a million different ways she could she could go with that song. Obviously, everybody loves it. It's good for sports. It's getting a lot of young women into the NFL realm, and they've talked about how great Taylor Swift is for just really sports in general. So I hope they stay together. But I will say a lot of people find it unbearable to see her on the TV, on the screen during Chiefs games. I don't have a problem with it. We've talked about this. I talked about the New York Times that did the study that said she was never on the screen during a game for more than, I think it was more than 30 seconds. But hey, they were doing cutaways to her. And I mean, you cut away to someone for 2 seconds, 10 times, it's going to feel like a lot. You know what I mean? It's just, we talked about, hey, you know, commercials on for 30 seconds. It's Taylor Swift. Why can't she be on for 30 seconds? There's also a big difference between a 30-second commercial and cutting to someone, you know, 10, 12 times, but just for 2 seconds. It's going to feel like more to the audience.
Well, I gave the example when they did one of those quick commercials, the 15-second commercials, where they keep a camera, they split the screen, and they stay at the stadium. And that entire 15 seconds, they kept it on Taylor Swift the entire time. And I went off on that. We'll pick that up when we get back for quarter number three.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, general manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to Landon and Jim versus the World. He's Landon Tenwall. I'm Jim Galante. This is our brand new show, first episode. Hopefully not the last, Landon, but we're talking about a lot more than just Penn State football. We've already spent too much time on Taylor Swift. Let's move on to some other topics, some things that are going on in the world of sports. We're still both big sports fans. Let's start with the world of basketball. A lot of different things to hit there. Let's start with Caitlin Clark, who just blew up, just this amazing college basketball player. And the problem is, whenever someone becomes big, it seems like people want to slap them back. She's getting some of that coming to the WNBA, isn't she?
Yeah, it's really interesting to kind of see because we know what Caitlin Clark has done for women's basketball in general. I mean, I'm almost certain that the women's finals in the NCAA tournament beat out the men's as far as viewership. And that is, you know, that is Caitlin Clark. She, you know, we're going to tip our hats to her for that. So she is single-handedly lifting up women's sports. So, but it was really interesting to see after that, there was a lot of WNBA players that seemed a little jealous because they were going on different type of talk shows and stuff saying, hey, you know, it's not going to be that easy for her. Just wait till she gets here. Almost seeming like, hey, I'm not rooting for this person. I'm essentially rooting against them. And people are like, well, hold on. She is doing all this amazing work for the WNBA. And even the fact of now they are going to have charter flights. And that is kind of because of safety reasons. I mean, everybody wants to see Caitlin Clark. There's a ton of paparazzi. And they simply just can't fly just normal airlines anymore because it's really not safe for all the players. So she has completely transcended what women's sports is and especially what women's basketball is. But there is, I mean, if anybody watched clips from her first couple games, I mean, it is clear that the other players on the opposing team are actively trying to almost hurt her. I mean, it seems like Jordan versus the Pistons back in the early 90s and like the late 80s. Like, it is physical. And there are some where it's like, whoa, okay, that seemed like almost a little bit of a cheap shot. But it's just so odd. And then even like on The View, the show The View, they're talking about about Caitlin Clark saying, you know, they think that she's getting this type of stuff because, you know, she's, you know, got pretty privilege and stuff like this. And I'm like, dude, why can't she just be great and we enjoy this? I feel like we kind of ruin that in sports all the time with greatness. You know, example, no one's really enjoying the final couple years of LeBron. It's all about, hey, is he still better than MJ? Is he still better than MJ? How about we just enjoy these last years of someone who is no doubt a top two NBA player of all time? So that's kind of how I feel about Caitlin Clark. I feel like we should just be enjoying the fact that she is bringing an unbelievable amount of eyeballs over to the WNBA. And so let's not try to bring her down. Let's lift everybody up. But I think it's going to continue. And honestly, I think it kind of happened with LeBron. I wasn't really alive in 2003. I was, but I was a baby. But I'm sure there was a lot of people when LeBron came in, you know, he was being touted as the chosen one, the greatest of all time, et cetera, before he even really played an NBA game. So I'm sure there were guys out there on the court that were kind of do the same thing, trying to kind of keep him down, trying to foul him extra hard. So I don't think this is the first time we've seen this. But really, in any sport, when someone, and especially with social media now, when someone is excelling at that high of a level and doing that many great things, it almost feels like it's natural that people just want to bring them down, Jim.
Well, I'm going to give you a different analogy. I like the comparison to LeBron James. I'll give you another one. I'll compare her to Tiger Woods. Mm-hmm. And here's why. When Tiger Woods hit golf wasn't necessarily that popular as a television sport. Tiger Woods changed that. He was a draw to non-golfing fans, okay? And he elevated everything in the golfing world. All those players, they started making more money, all the other ones, because of Tiger. Because revenues went up for everybody. Endorsements went up for everybody. Tournament, television contracts, everything went up because of Tiger Woods. And now that's the same thing with Caitlin Clark. And the jealousy is what I'll call it. It's even more startling because WNBA players have been complaining for years. Look how much NBA players make versus us. Well, if you think about it, the reason why is because you don't draw fans. Mm. You lose money. The NBA has been propping up the WNBA for years, okay? It, on its own, the WNBA would not exist, okay? It would just lose money. Now someone like a Caitlin Clark comes along, it draws more attention. They'll get bigger TV contracts. They'll get more attendance at their games. All the things that they've been begging for, Landon, is coming to them because of Caitlin Clark. And how do they treat her?
Exactly. It's like you get a golden ticket and you want to throw it away. It doesn't make much sense to me. So I'm sure as she starts to prove herself more, she'll be more widely accepted. And then the people in the league will look at her like she deserves, you know, when she is one of the best players in the league. And some people have said she's not there yet, which is very possible. I mean, we know that transition from college to professional sports is difficult. It's always much more physical. It's always different when you're going against someone who's 20, 21. Now you can go against someone who's 29. There is a big difference in the strength and just the ability of those people. So, you know, there is that to be said. So she is struggling a little bit for being the first overall pick. But I think soon she will start to really find her way and people will start to accept it and realize, okay, this in as a whole is just much better for the WNBA and we are benefiting more. Much more from her being here than her not being here.
I really hope that's the case. And now I want to stay on the basketball theme here. A basketball icon, Bill Walton, passed away this past week. And again, this is another one of those generational things where our listeners could witness what our conversations are like. I don't know how much you know about Bill Walton. Do you know where he went to college?
Oh, gosh, I really should. I feel like it was on the West Coast, maybe. Was it UCLA?
Yes, very good.
Okay, barely. I barely knew. I had to dig that one out. I think he played for the Blazers, right?
Yes, very
okay,
good.
See, look at me go, because I do. I only know really Bill Walton as an announcer. He was awesome. I love you know, watching him call games. But I really have never seen much Bill Walton footage.
Well, Bill Walton, from my lifetime, I would call him the second best college basketball player I've ever seen. Okay.
Who's number one?
Tareem.
Okay. Yeah. I can see that.
Also at UCLA, just he was amazing. And what's interesting, again, this is a little bit of those age lessons from us old guys could teach you. Back then, players could not play as a freshman. Okay.
Joe Paterno style, huh?
Joe Paterno style. Yep. They were not allowed to play. Like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, when he came in as a freshman, I've read that the freshman team actually beat the varsity team.
I have seen that story. Yeah.
And that varsity team won a national championship. Now, Bill Walton comes in after Kareem. I think there was like 1 year where they had neither. Bill Walton comes in, doesn't play as a freshman. Then he plays. At one point, Landon, they won 88 games in a row. 88 games, okay? Back-to-back national championships. And also, perhaps the single greatest college game performance, national championship game, he scored 44 points on, get this, he made 21 out of 22 shots in that game. Could you imagine that in a college game?
No, that's impressive. I'd imagine all around the rim, but hey, still impressive.
Yes, a lot of them were around the rim. And Probably his best attribute was he was a great passer. And my favorite Bill Walton story from college is, are you familiar with the name John Wooden, who was the coach?
Yes, I am.
Okay. His look up the record, just absolutely incredible. And John Wooden was old school. Bill Walton was new school. This is early 70s. This is when Vietnam War was going on. There was the protests against all of that. And Bill Walton was part of that kind of thinking. And he returns to the team at what I guess it was after the summer break, long hair, beard, walks in that way. And John Wooden was going to have none of that. And they get into an argument. And Bill Walton, he felt very strongly about this, that he had the right to wear his hair long, wear the beard. And John Wooden's response to it was just how much he respects him for fighting for what he believes in. He really admired it. Plus, we're also going to miss you. The next day, Bill Walton came back clean shaven and with a haircut. Okay.
There you go, my way or the highway.
Yes. Now, is that not quite different than college sports today, Landon?
Oh no, yeah, you can't tell anybody have those type of sets of standards. It's interesting that you mentioned that, though. You just mentioned it's not like that anymore today. While you were talking about an 88 game win streak, I was sitting here thinking, I'm like, that type of stuff just doesn't happen nowadays. These huge win streaks, these like long standing records. I just feel like it just doesn't happen anymore. And I wonder why. I guess everybody is so good. It's harder to do that. The Lakers that won a ton of NBA championships before, the 60s or the 50s?
Well, the 50s and 60s was the Celtics.
That was the Celtics. Okay. Look, yeah, I still need schooling right now. It's just like they just winning an insane amount. It was Celtics. Yeah. Winning like, I believe it was like in 12 years or something, like they won like eight or nine championships. Like stuff like that just doesn't happen anymore. It's very interesting. And like I said, I think it's because back then half of the players were either a legend or you were playing against someone that could be a plumber the next day. So it's like, that doesn't happen anymore. Now you are going against the best. And even now we're seeing not only, obviously a ton of great players, but we're getting players in from other places. I saw something recently that said that 4 out of the 5 projected top 5 picks for this coming year's NBA draft are non-American players. So you're starting to get people from all around and say, hey, we're not only getting the best, Americans or even people around here, like in the islands, that type of thing. No, we're going across the pond. We're going all over into Europe, Africa, everywhere. So it's really cool to see.
And I do want to talk to you about that, the theory of why that is. And I think it's just there is more talent going on. There were fewer teams in the NBA at the time. but there's now just more talented basketball players, and that talent gets distributed more. It happens in college. It happens in the NBA. We will pick that up when we come back for quarter number four. Stay tuned.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to Landon and Jim versus the world. He's Landon, I'm Jim. Isn't that a coincidence, Landon? The name of the show matches the two of us.
I know. It's like magic. And I won. And I won the competition, Jim.
Landon and Jim. We were talking about, I brought up Bill Walton because that's more from my generation. I remember him playing and talking to him, talking about him at UCLA. And Landon, you, I mentioned that 88-game win streak. There were more of those type of streaks, I think, back then. I'll admit it. I'm an old guy. I'm not one of those who says, back in my day, that's when the real basketball was. I think now there's just so much more talent, Landon. Mm. It's hard to get. UCLA had, it was, the Boston Celtics had pretty much the same guys for a decade that they won. In college, it's harder to do that because you have that changeover in players. But they had this dynasty that, it went from, you know, Kareem to Bill Walton, but it wasn't just those two guys. Like I said, I believe they won a national championship in the year between when they had neither of those guys. So that just tells you just how good they were. But I think that that draws people to a sport. If you have either love them or hate them, you know, UCLA. Or it happened the same way, you know, in NFL, your beloved Steelers, when they were winning all of their Super Bowls, you either loved them or you hated them, Landon.
It's true. I wish I was around for it, man. I got Jack Ham. So Jack Ham's going to come on my podcast, which I'm really excited. So I'll be diving into that time period. But Jim, one thing I do want to flex into is we were talking about bringing people on and helping out with viewership. One thing that I think absolutely drove viewership up for the NBA was Inside the NBA on TNT. And when I saw, and that's with Shaq, that's with Chuck, that's with Ernie Johnson, all those guys, Kenny the Jet Smith is now being canceled. So I am very saddened to see that go because we've had some insane memories and everybody loves Shaq. I mean, just gives the most best, just the best performances. They are hilarious. Sometimes they are out of pocket, as the kids say, and maybe not even so far out of pocket that sometimes it might not even be fully suitable for TV, some of the stuff they say. But they, and that's the best part. They don't really care because they're all big-time athletes that are millionaires. So they'll say really, for the most part, whatever they want. And we've talked about this. That's why podcasts, that's why this type of stuff is doing so well now, that athletes are going off and making their own content. And that's kind of, I feel like the NBA on TNT was kind of the beginning of that. It was a bunch of former big-time NBA players that said, hey, let's go on there, and we're just essentially going to talk shop, and we're going to talk real loosely. This isn't going to be some extremely professional setting where we are, you know, everything's above board, et cetera. They're saying some things that I'm sure the people behind the keyboard in the back are going, oh, don't say that. Don't say that. Don't get us in trouble. Don't get us a lawsuit. But they don't care, and the fans love it. So, you know, very sad to see that go. That is the end of an era, absolutely, with NBA on TNT.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, Landon, because that is a show that spans generations, you know, and I think that young people could watch them. But have you ever seen live Charles, and I don't mean in person, but even on TV, when those guys were actually in the NBA and playing?
No, I didn't. The closest thing I got, I'd say, is probably like The Last Dance, the Jordan Bulls documentary. I mean, I've seen a little bit of Charles playing, but not really. I've just heard stories about all the cheeseburgers that he ate while he was playing and how big he was.
Well, I spent time in Philadelphia, and he was the round mound of rebound, you know, and for his height, he played so much taller. I don't want to say because he was a big physical guy, but I think he's actually around 6'4", but he was playing like a power forward. He was playing inside, and he excelled at it. And of course, Shaq, bigger than everybody, but also quite athletic. These were premier players, Landon. So it's I shouldn't say it's unfortunate, because it's probably a good thing that the younger generation knows who they are and has enjoyed them on this show. But they were authentically all pro players. They were tremendous players.
Well, you know, like you mentioned, it's cool that you guys got to kind of enjoy them in a different way, and we still get to have the influence of them through television, through TV, and their media that we're consuming. But we get a little bit of a different spin on it. They're behind the set. They're on, so they have some microphones instead of being out there on the court. But it's cool. They bring that old school feel back to the inside the NBA on TNT. So really, really sad to see it go, but I'm sure they will find their way to another show, and I'm sure people are chomping at the bid to get all of them on a cast together on another program. So I'm sure we won't lose them entirely.
I hope we do get a chance to see them together again, because they belong together. I wanted to bring up something that you talked to me about off the air that was kind of interesting, because I only have seen headlines on it. It is amazing how Colorado football, Deion Sanders, his sons, they just find ways to get into the news every week.
Yeah, they definitely do. You know, obviously they are completely in the spotlight over in Colorado. And when I've mentioned this story to a couple people, they think I'm talking about Shador Sanders, but this is about Shiloh Sanders, his older son, who plays cornerback. I think actually he might play safety. I believe he's a safety for Colorado. And it came out that he filed for bankruptcy. And the reason why that's such big news initially is just because that is essentially the first NIL age athlete that has had to file for bankruptcy. So it's kind of like, what is going on there? But I'm reading off the New York Post here about Shiloh Sanders and why he filed for bankruptcy. It says he filed for bankruptcy in apparent attempt to avoid liability for a $12 million judgment case from the Texas court. And so essentially what happened is back in 2015, when he was in high school, that's almost 9 years ago now, which is pretty insane that this has been going on that long. But one of the security guards at the high school that Shiloh attended has been suing him for that long. It's kind of stayed under wraps. I don't know how no one has really heard about this. You know, obviously when you're famous, there are certain things you're able to kind of suppress a little bit. So I'm sure Deion Sanders worked some of his magic. But when you start to kind of read into it, you know, the initial headline is, hey, filed for bankruptcy. And it's, I feel bad for him. Why did that happen? Well, you click on the article and you actually start to read it. And it's like, okay, I'm starting to feel less and less bad. The lawsuit filed details that the security guard that Shiloh got into altercation with has sustained severe and permanent injuries, including a broken neck, damage to his cervical spine, permanent neurological injuries, and irreversible incontinence as a result from the alleged assault from Shiloh. So basically, from my understanding of it, basically Shiloh Sanders allegedly beat up the security guard so bad that he can no longer even walk. So, I mean, that is pretty serious stuff. And then that kind of starts to beg the question, how is the person that did that, I mean, how are they allowed to play college football right now? I mean, that, like, this is some serious accusations. I mean, that's almost beating up someone within terms of death. I mean, you could have easily killed the person if you hurt him that bad. So, you know, I think there's a lot of questions that need to be answered with this whole thing, Jim.
Well, and I'll admit, Landon, going into this conversation, I had only read the headlines. I saw bankruptcy and I thought, okay, here we go. Young athlete, they usually wait a little longer till they mismanage their money, okay, right, and become bankrupt. You know, we hear all those stories about you know, the majority of athletes, the majority of basketball players end up, you know, losing the money. And we folks think in terms of, you've gotten a couple million dollars, how can you end up bankrupt? But when it comes to something like this, it does. You hit on a couple of interesting points. One is, why didn't we all know about this? It would seem to be such a big news item that you would know. And I think in a lawsuit, some of those things will tend to get exaggerated. But if even half of it is true, Landon, this is someone who you would think would, if the allegations are true, this is someone who should end up in jail.
Yeah, you definitely would think so. I think in any case like this, I'm sure there is a doctor that has to kind of evaluate the security guard and say, hey, you know, these claims are valid. His, you know, his spine is damaged. He can't walk, whatever it may be. It's not one of those situations where you get rear-ended and then you have a neck brace. you get tapped on the back of the car and the guy pulls a neck brace out of his trunk and puts it on and says, I can't move my neck. I don't think it's one of those. So I'm sure a lot of that has to be validated by a doctor. One fun fact that I did kind of pull from some of these articles is that Shiloh Sanders, that they reported how much income that he reported for this past year, and it was $315,000. So that kind of just gives a good idea of the type of money these guys are bringing in. So obviously, you know, very well could have brought in more, but not someone, and obviously he's a very big name, not someone who's exactly an elite player, so to speak. I don't know if he's really being looked at as far as the NFL, but for someone who has that big of a name, that kind of tells you around the type of money these guys are getting. Now, I'm sure his brother, Shador Sanders, is well into the millions of dollars in that category. And funny enough, I think they bought Deion Sanders a house. And it's kind of funny. Yeah, Deion Sanders really needs another house. But I saw that that all the sons went in on a house together for Deion, which is pretty cool. But no, you know, getting back to the settlement and this lawsuit, the lawsuit, it's really interesting. And I'm just curious. I mean, I guess part of the reason it might have not gotten put out in the public is because Shiloh was a minor when this all happened. So I don't know what kind of protection there is. And especially in Texas, I'm not familiar with the laws down there as far as sharing stuff about a minor like that. But it really does beg the question, how did this kind of just slide under the table? Like no one had any idea. I mean, this is just brand new news that nobody had any idea about. And I'm sure it's something that people in and around the Texas area and that high school all knew about. But it's just, it's crazy that something like of that magnitude where, you know, allegedly you beat someone up about an inch within their life and it doesn't come out for, I mean, we're talking 8-9 years. I mean, that's a long time. I mean, I'm thinking back to 2015, 2016. I was in like 7th, 8th grade. I can't imagine having a lawsuit from then dragged out until now. I mean, that is really insane.
Well, if it's been going on, that could be a commentary on our legal system also.
Yeah, exactly.
Unfortunately. Speaking of unfortunately, we are out of time. That is it for the first edition of Landon and Jim versus the World. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you will join us next time.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.